Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, Odyssey.
The Earth, the core of the Solar Federation, has known an extended period of peace and prosperity. But now, tensions with the neighboring Galman Empire threaten to pull the galaxy inexorably into war. With the approaching death of the Galman Emperor Deslok, the Solar Federation has dispatched a diplomatic mission to Galmania, throne world of the Empire. At Deslok's request, the delegation travels aboard the space battleship Argo. Delayed by major mechanical malfunctions upon reaching the Jupiter asteroid belt, the Argo responded to an emergency call from a Solar Federation Explorer vessel, which was under attack by unknown raiders. Despite continued power issues, the Star Force fought off the strange enemy craft. But as the dust settles, disturbing questions arise.
First Officer's Personal Log, Commander Reginald Montgomery recording.
I can see now why Captain James warned me about my commanding officer. Captain Venture is far too cavalier with the lives under her command. Responding to the SOS was right and proper, but we should have dispatched our fighter squadron alone. Taking a ship with a faulty ECS system into combat is beyond irresponsible. And then while the nav crew were carefully threading us through the asteroid belt, she calls a staff meeting.
All right, Chief. Where are we on the ECS power drain?
Well, we got a shunt in place. The main engines, life support, inertial systems, and comm equipment are all safe. Unfortunately, the weapon systems all tie directly into the faulty ECS conduit. We're gonna have to deal with random power fluctuations in them until we have the time to replace the bad conduit.
And that will at least be a 48-hour job.
Fantastic. Where are we on the analysis of the Raiders' debris?
The ships that attacked the Aldrin didn't leave much behind after they self-destructed.
Can we prove they were Galman?
Not conclusively. Their configuration did fit Galman profiles, but their power signatures were significantly off.
A new class of ship? Or new drive system, perhaps?
Possibly, but we didn't detect Galman life signs either.
The aggressors could have been drone ships. I recorded the odd data streams that they were broadcasting to one another. Our computers are trying to churn through it now, but it is a terribly complex encryption. I do not think we're going to be able to make much sense of it.
Keep on it, Pulsar.
Affirmations.
Bridge, how much longer until we're clear of the asteroid belt?
Our route through the belt has 3 remaining obstacle points. We should be through them within the hour.
Excellent, Thea. Keep us posted. Venture out. Anyone have more to report? All right then, back to posts.
Excuse me, Captain?
Yes, Commander? What is it?
I would never bring this up in front of the crew, but I feel it's only my duty to inform you that I strongly disagree with your endangering the ship when you responded to the Aldrin's SOS.
I see. You think sending the Argo into combat in her present state was a mistake?
Yes, ma'am. I do. The ship had a power drain of unknown severity. Had it proved more widespread, sending us into battle would have endangered not only our mission, but our crew.
And if we hadn't responded, what would have happened? Those weren't just pirates. They were coordinated, aggressive. All the hallmarks of a military unit.
I'm not saying we shouldn't have responded. Just simply that the Argo was not combat ready.
Commander, In my judgment, dispatching the Black Tigers alone to deal with the threat was insufficient.
Frankly, Captain, your judgment was wrong.
Commander, are we going to have a problem over this?
I should hope not, Captain. However, it is my duty...
Mr. Montgomery, as my first officer, I encourage you to speak up when you feel I have made a poor decision. It is my duty to listen to your counsel. But remember that I am the captain. Once I have given you an order, you will carry it out whether you agree with it or not. Is that clear?
I fear the rumors about Captain Venture are true. She's a loose cannon. For now, best that I bide my time and keep a close eye on the situation.
End First Officer's log entry.
The Argo has completed threading its course through the asteroid belt and begun plotting the first long warp to the border of the Galman Empire. Now, it's ship's night. The ship is quiet, most of the crew safely asleep in their bunks. However, down in the engine room...
Chief, what brings you down here at this hour?
I couldn't sleep. Just wanted to see how things were going.
We're running 98% efficiency.
98, huh? That's impressive.
What's up, Chief?
Seems like you're one hand short. Where's Haruna?
Our mascot? She's in the storeroom, taking inventory.
I was under the impression that we were up to date with our inventory.
Oh, we are. She just can't screw up anything else in there.
I see.
Let's see. 4 cases of, Oh, Chief. I didn't hear you come in.
It's all right, Haruna. So how's the inventory coming?
It's fine. Should be done in less than an hour.
Great. So pull up a crate for a minute, will you? And take a load off.
Chief?
Sit down, Susan.
Oh, yes, sir.
You know, it's good of you to do an inventory check on your own like this, but I'm fairly sure the first round was pretty accurate, you know?
Yeah.
Storeroom's a real good place to be alone, though, huh? I mean, it's private. You can really clear your head in a place like this. So, do you want to talk about it?
There's nothing to talk about, Chief. I approved of faulty conduit, and it not only put us behind schedule, it endangered the ship.
Wow. That is a lot to carry. You sure you're up to the load?
That conduit was fine when I checked it. I don't know what I missed. What did I do wrong? And now the whole crew thinks I'm just a screw-up. Just a goddamn...
mascot?
Yeah, the token cute girl here to brighten morale and fetch coffee.
And that doesn't sit too well with you, does it?
Are you kidding me, sir? I was 3rd in my class, of over 1,000. I had my choice of assignments. Do you know why I chose this one?
No. Tell me.
Because I wanted it, damn it. I built a model of this ship when I was 5. When I was 10, I knew her backwards and forwards. At the academy, I did 4 papers on the Argo.
I know. That's why I bribed personnel to get you here.
You what?
Well, this ship isn't exactly Solar Federation standard. You know, I wanted to make sure we had an expert on the Argo, so a friend of mine in personnel got a bottle of Old Kentucky, and we got you.
You mean I didn't earn my spot?
The hell you didn't. Look, I read your paper speculating on Iskandarium overpressure and wave motion projections. That alone earned you a spot. Besides, I don't waste bottles on people who aren't extraordinary.
Thank you?
And just for the record, did you check the repair and refit log?
No, I didn't.
You didn't check the bad conduit. You rechecked it. Care to guess who originally approved it?
Who?
Me.
Oh.
And when I checked it, it also passed. You did nothing wrong, kid.
Really?
Yep. So get back out there, kid. And if any of those chuckleheads have anything to say about your performance, you refer them to me.
Thank you, Chief. But that won't be necessary. If I can't handle a chucklehead, I'm not worth your faith in me, right?
Thea Holtz returns to her cabin to find her roommate Addie Beaumont already there. Addie is curled up on her bunk, trying and failing to make a decades-old datapad function.
Good evening, Addie.
Hi, Thea. Enjoying your first assignment in deep space?
So far, it has proven educational. By the way, I took your advice.
I'd heard you had a long visit with Cade. How'd it go?
I apologized and explained about how I'm trying to crack my own shell, as you put it. He was very receptive. I think we're friends now.
Good. I knew you had it in you. Oh, Patty! Oh, don't do this to me, girl.
Patty?
Yeah, sorry. My father gave this data pad to me when I was a little girl, so he could talk to me at night when he was away on business. I've kept it ever since, and it... Well, it's kind of silly,
You anthropomorphized it by giving it a name because you needed a friend?
Well, when you say it like that... Anyway, Patty's been mine for a while now, but... It looks like she's finally kaput. Well, I'm gonna take a shower before bed. Unless you need it?
Go ahead. I'm fine.
Okay, back in a bit.
Come here, Patty. Let's see what's wrong. Connect output to crystalline lattices. Pass signal throughput around processor main bus. Verify OS version in primary buffer. Connect buffer to language protocols. Drivers in sync. Graphical processor online. Haptic loops concurrent. Power supply redirected through redundant backup flow. Reinitializing startup. And activation.
Thea? Were you talking to me?
Yes! I repaired your friend!
You fixed Patty? Oh, thank you, Thea! You're amazing!
You have no idea.
Captain's Log, September 16th, 2267. After resolving our technical delays, the Argo has arrived at the agreed-upon neutral space rendezvous point on schedule. Per protocol, we're awaiting the arrival of our escorts before proceeding into Galman territory.
Captain, detecting a warp field forming ahead.
Yellow alert. Pulsar, notify our fighter patrol. I want them in the area if these aren't our escorts.
Compliance and affirmations.
Warp fields comply with expected norms for Galman vessels. Ships coming through now.
I read one dreadnought class, four escort frigates.
Thea. Do any of the ship's signatures match those of the ships that attacked the Aldrin?
Similar, Captain, but not enough for positive identification. Their power signatures are completely different. Galman norm.
Receiving a signal from the Dreadnought. They are asking to send a shuttle over.
Tell them we're looking forward to meeting their delegation. Have our patrol fighters escort them in.
Roger, Argo. We'll establish near the Dreadnought and escort them aboard. Tom-Tom, keep my wing.
Roger, Silk.
I show one shuttle leaving the Galman ship along with two fighters of their own.
Argo Patrol, this is the Admiral Shuttle. Please assume formation with us. And disregard the rest of our escort. The Admiral believes in... reciprocity.
Yeah, well, his reciprocity is climbing up our thrust manifolds.
Roger, Galman Shuttle, we are assuming formation.
The Galman shuttle and Black Tigers enter the aft landing bay of the Argo, while the two Galman escort fighters peel off and return to their base ship. Once safely aboard, the bay is pressurized and artificial gravity restored to a safe level. Captain Venture and a select honor guard of her officers, as well as the Solar Federation diplomatic staff, are assembled. The shuttle's ramp lowers, and a single figure descends to the fighter deck. A powerfully built man with skin the color of deepest sapphire and eyes that see much and move often. He is a man who gives the impression of being entitled to greater finery, but rejects it for the garb of a common soldier in service to his emperor. Only the admiral's insignia upon his shoulders betray his high rank.
I am Admiral Bolti Rakali of the Galman Empire's Forward Rim Area. I'm here to escort you to Galmania per the established protocol.
Admiral Rukali, welcome aboard, sir. I'm Captain Madeline Venture of the Solar Federation battleship Argo. May I present my first officer, Commander Reginald Montgomery.
Admiral?
Commander.
And this is the deputation sent by my government. Ambassador Sheridan, Senator Lane...
Ah, Captain. Gentlemen, forgive me, but mine is not a diplomatic visit. In fact, the political office ordered me specifically not to meet with the civilian staff in any official capacity.
Oh, I see. Well, we wouldn't want to violate the wishes of the political office now, would we?
Thank you, Senator.
If it wouldn't be an imposition, however, sir, I'm something of a student of your career. Would it be possible for us to share a meal to discuss military history?
I myself have developed a fondness for Terran food and beverages, coffee in particular. I would enjoy swapping stories with an old warrior such as yourself, Colonel Sheridan.
You know me, sir?
My reputation, yes. I'll definitely find the time for a mug or two. Now, Captain, if you don't mind, we must meet with your astro navigation staff to discuss the next stage of your journey. Good day, gentlemen.
And with that, the Galman Admiral and Captain Venture exit the bay, leaving a confused group in their wake.
The Hawk of the Southern Flank knows who I am.
Ambassador?
The Admiral. He's a legend in the Galman military. During the recent conflicts, he was responsible for several key victories. And during the invasion of the Common Empire 50 years ago, he held a dozen sectors with nothing but a light squadron of militia pilots and mercenary warships.
And he knows you, sir?
Yes, he does. Small galaxy, isn't it?
Captain Venture escorts Admiral Rukali to the operations room. Chief Navigator Stephen Jacobs and the assistant pilot Thea Holtz are already there. After a brief round of introductions, the Admiral produces a portable data drive.
Here are the coordinates for your arrival in the Galmania system. Can your ship handle a 0.5 realm arrival threshold?
A 0.5.
A realm is the standard measure of size for Galman ships. It's measured from the center mass outwards. The Admiral is asking if our navigation crews can guarantee a warp out that puts the Argo center mass within an area roughly 50 cubic meters.
Excellently put, Lieutenant.
Of course, Admiral. No problem.
Glad to hear it, Mr. Jacobs. Captain, on that drive, you will also find a temporary code to add to your ship's broadcast identification. Without that code, any ship in Galman space has a legal right and authority to assume you have violated our territory and act accordingly. I'd recommend leaving it intact as long as you're in Galman space.
Sound advice. Thea, would you please see Pulsar makes the needed modifications to our broadcast transponder?
Yes, Captain.
If possible, we'd like to warp within the hour.
That shouldn't be an issue, sir. With your permission, Captain, I'll get the nav crew cracking on these coordinates right away.
Very good, Stephen. That will be all, Lieutenants. Admiral Rukali, will you be returning to your own ship or will you ride out the warp with us?
I should be returning. Extend my apologies to the Ambassador, but there will be many chances to exchange tall tales later.
Of course.
Also, Captain, I hesitate to say this, but doing so I am bending, a rule nigh to breaking. But you are our guest, and we should not send you blindly into battle.
Go on.
I'm sure your own intelligence services briefed you on matters in the Empire to the best of their ability. But things are tense right now. Extremely so. You need to be very, very careful.
How bad is it, really?
Before the time of Deslok's treaty with the Comet Empire, our people were involved in either wars of liberation or of conquest. Constantly at war for the entirety of our modern age. Now for the first time in living memory, we have a lasting period of peace. I wish it sat better with the masses than it does. I'm afraid dissatisfaction with the current calm has caused some of the more aggressive in our government to turn their eyes towards your territory.
That's why we're coming now, Admiral. To try and strengthen the bonds of friendship between the Solar Federation and the Galman Empire. A war between us would benefit no one.
I agree, but that leads me to the core of the problem. Deslok has no heirs. You do not run an empire such as ours by committee. When he dies, may not be for some time yet. We will fall into chaos. It will consume my people, and I fear yours as well.
Meanwhile, in the Argo's hangar bay, Kinu Ogawa is overseeing the maintenance of her Cosmo Zero Interceptor, when a voice she doesn't recognize interrupts her routine.
This is your ship? Impressive. You fly well together. Excuse me? Oh, you're the pilot of the Galman shuttle, correct? Today I fly that barge for my admiral. Tomorrow I am back in my Angel. I know that feeling. I'm a Kinu Ogawa, call sign Silk.
Dila Rukali, honored to meet you, Silk.
Dila, I notice you and the admiral.
My father, we both prefer not to make an issue of it.
Captain Venture, thank you for your hospitality.
Anytime, Admiral.
Pilot, take us back to our ship.
Yes, Admiral. The shuttle is ready.
Good.
I hope we get a chance to fly together sometime, Silk.
Me too.
Making friends, Lieutenant?
Honestly, Captain, I'm not sure.
The Admiral's shuttle returns to his flagship, and the preparations to warp to the Galman throne world are swiftly completed. On the bridge, Captain Venture calls Thea Holtz, Addie Beaumont, and Pulsar into her ready room for a hurried conference.
Captain, we're warping soon. We should be at our post.
This will only take a moment. When we arrive at Galman, I want you three to keep a lookout for readings similar to the ships that attacked the Aldrin.
Confusion. Wouldn't actively scanning ships in their home system be seen as provocation?
Try to avoid active scan, but keep the passive systems looking for similar energy signatures, data transmissions and the like. I don't want to cause a diplomatic incident, but we need to know who those ships were as soon as possible.
Yes, Captain. You can count on us.
I never doubted it, Addie. Now, back to posts. Status?
Warp preparations complete. Building engine charge now.
Charge at 78%, Captain.
Course remains clear of obstacles.
Excellent.
Signal from Admiral Rukali's ship. They want to know if we're ready.
Chief?
Charge sufficient.
At your discretion, Mr. Jacobs.
Countdown is starting. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, warp.
The Argo's wave motion engine roars, and the ship rockets forward into the space between dimensions. The jump seems interminable, but at last the laws of physics reassert themselves, and the Star Force are once again enfolded in our reality. Arriving at the Galman capital, the sight that greets them is nothing short of awe-inspiring. Galman itself is an Earth-sized green world, orbited by literally a million ships, in every conceivable color, size, and shape. The world is surrounded by a swarm of starships so large and dense, it boggles the mind. And all of them, every last one of the uncountable horde, is a ship of war.
Captain, I hope we're wrong about who attacked the Aldrin.
Me too, Miss Beaumont. Me too.
You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Odyssey, Episode 4, a Forward Momentum production, based on the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Yoshinobu Nishizaki and Leiji Matsumoto, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Jessica Osborne as Madeline Venture, James Baylog as Cade Morgan, Alex Tran as Thea Holtz, The Hamerton as Stephen Jacobs, Shannon Hobby as Addie Beaumont, James Cleveland as Pulsar, Stay Holland as David Erickson, Coor as Reginald Montgomery, Carly Walker as Susan Haruna, Alex Alesperu as Tommy Harrison, Taylor Carlson as Kinu Ogawa, Jeff Ashbury as Ambassador Sheridan, Matt Sego as Senator Lane, Luis Miscellaniano as Admiral Boti Rucali, Jeremy Smith-Sebasto as The Engineer, Rebecca Thomas as Dila Rucali, and Ashley Lynn as The Voice of the Computer. This is Kyle Akers. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series comes primarily from the soundtracks of the anime Uchusenkan Yamato 2199, based on themes composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda, as well as new works composed by Akira Miyagawa. Series-specific sound effects were drawn from the Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, as well as the Sound Fantasia Yamato CD. Sea of Stars Odyssey is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Starblazers, Uchusenkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted works mentioned or inferred herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, remain the property of their rights holders. No infringing claims are intended.
The world of Galmania, center of a galaxy-spanning empire, is a powder keg waiting for the merest spark. In this gallery of cold smiles and hidden daggers, Captain Venture finds unexpected hope, while Kinu Ogawa is drawn into a deadly game. Next time on Sea of Stars Odyssey, Episode 5, The Smile of a Predator. The longest of journeys begins with but a single step.